This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts. Free your mind!
Sex worker, and yes, it does.
In girls, biblical sense, I am beyond the pretend. Bang hooker,
sex worker,
wench, vow, makes her mind.
Listen up close while I take it backwards. Oh, okay, begins the gallows in me, which I want. I'm not a prostitute.
Sex workers,
but I can give you what you want.
Sex worker, damn it.
Get some.
You've tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
That's right, you have tuned in to Joy 94.9's only sex worker community radio show, The Vixen Hour. Hooray! You're here with your regular co-host every week, and my name is Christian, and I'm joined by the fabulous Anise. Hi, Anise.
Hello.
How's it going?
Hello again.
Well, now, we're also joined in the studio by a couple of other guests, some visitors. We have Fleur and Kitty. How's it going, guys?
Hi, Christian.
Good. Yes.
Hi.
Yay. We are going to be talking... This is a special radiothon edition of the Vixen Hour. We will be talking about the Festival of Sex Work, which just wrapped up today, as well as talk about the International Whores Day. But in the meantime, we have this very important message.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interest of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex work organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
That's right. This is the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. If at any point you would like to interact with the program, you can do so by 0427 Joy 949. That's 0427 569949. Send us a text message. Or you can call the front desk. And Mason is right there, ready to take your call on 1300 Joy 949. That's 1300 569949. The Vixen Hour is your weekly radio show that explores life, issues, and the world from a sex worker's perspective. This is your opportunity to challenge the stereotypes and prejudice that you may have about sex work and hear from the actual voices of sex workers ourselves. We are out loud and proud. This is your only community radio program in the world that is publicly broadcasted directly to your radios and available online that is 100% produced and presented by sex workers.
What a mouthful.
I do say that every week, just to remind people what the Vixen Hour is all about. And specifically on tonight's show, we will be talking about the Melbourne Festival of Sex Work.
Yay!
Awesome. So, Anise was part of the organising committee for the Melbourne Festival of Sex Work.
Yes, I was.
Well, how was the experience for you?
It was amazing. It was really tiring, but amazing, amazing, amazing. I got to meet so many cool people. I did things I didn't think I was going to do. Uh-huh. And yeah, amazing.
Sounds pretty amazing. So as far as like planning the festival goes, like who was involved?
Well, it's involved. Vixen put that on. So Vixen is run by sex workers for sex workers. So in saying that, it was sex workers.
Yay, that's amazing.
And the festival was predominantly for sex workers, but we also had public events that friends and family and allies and support people could come along to, as well as the general public that just wanted to be supportive and or just know the real stories.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And what was involved in sort of the actual planning process? like to get the festival together?
Well, we had a lot of very fun meetings where we pulled our hair out and discussed things. We had to liaise with venues. We had to set things up.
Yeah.
Because to find volunteers.
Right.
Because obviously we're not funded. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're doing all of this for the love of it.
Yeah. It's really, really amazing. So, I mean, it sort of, I guess, demonstrates the passion and commitment that's, you know, there in the sex working community.
Yeah, it's kind of like no one else is going to do it for us. So we have to do it for ourselves. And that means doing it with no money.
Yeah.
Like everything.
There is no funded sex worker organization here. Here in Victoria at the moment, which is a bit of, you know, sad face. So the Festival of Sex Work did come, it did sort of finish today. It always kind of finishes about this time, and that's because on the 2nd of June, which was yesterday, was International Horse Day.
Woohoo!
Yay. So for people who may not be aware, International Horse Day commemorates the birth of the starting off of the modern day sex worker rights movement. Mm-hmm. It remembers an event in 1975 when about 100 sex workers occupied a church in protest against the treatment of police who were harassing them at the time and who were kind of not investigating crimes against French sex workers in Lyon.
Yeah.
At the time, they were there for about a week. The police kept trying to, you know, get the sex workers to leave the church, and they kept upping the ante till eventually they got to the point where they said, you know, if you don't get out of this church, we're going to take away your children. But in a surprising show of solidarity, the townswomen of Lyon actually said, you know what, that's really, really crap. We're not going to cop that. So what they did was they actually joined the sex workers in the church and sat alongside them. And
said, that's really heartwarming, isn't it? When I heard that.
Every time I hear that story, I melt, and I've heard it a few times and I melt.
And they basically said, you know, if you're going to take away the children of sex workers, you're going to have to take away all of our children, because how can you tell one woman from the next?
Yeah, that's hardcore solidarity right there. Take note, people.
So, you know, that event being the birth of the sex worker rights movement, we thought Vixen's contribution can be something like putting on a festival like we do every year.
Yeah.
Well, it's the second year, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So, amazing. You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. It is Radiothon. We are on air. We don't run on air. So call up now and join for an individual membership costs about $72, concessions $36, and if you're under 18, it's only $22. For a family, and a family can be, you know, more than one person, so yourself and your cat counts as a family, and that's $96. Call Mason now on 1300 JOY 949. They are waiting to take your call. In the meantime, we've got to go to some messages. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9, and I'm joined by the fabulous Anise. Hi, Anise.
Hey.
And the fabulous Fleur and Kitty.
Hi.
Hello. So the Festival of Sex Work did just wrap up today, and I thought we might play a bit of a vox pop, which is of a bunch of sex workers. We asked them, you know, what were their highlights for the festival, and asked them or why they thought the Festival of Sex Work was important. So here is what they had to say.
Hi, my name's Matt. I'm from Melbourne, and I guess the most enjoyable part of the festival for me was getting to meet other sex workers, getting to meet my peers, people who I've known for ages and not ever really met, so that was very valuable.
Hi, my name's Harmony, and I'm a sex worker from Sydney. I've had an amazing time in the past few days just hanging out and partying with other whores. It's just really powerful to be around other people who validate your experience and don't judge you, and seeing that expressed through artwork as well as workshops, and the rally and everything has just been so powerful, so
distorted and
and like based on like normative perceptions of, you know, sex worker lives. And so it was really nice to just have like a really informative discussion about sex worker history that just really normalized in my experiences, I guess. And yeah, really interesting to hear like about those sex workers who have
I'm Ryan and I'm a sex worker. I work mostly in Sydney and Adelaide. My favourite part of the festival was the history tour walk because I invited my whole family and it was really important for me, for my family to meet other sex workers and see how awesome our community is.
I'm a sex worker from Wales and I really enjoyed the festival the whole time. It's been absolutely incredible. My highlight was definitely the variety show, and it was really great to play a part as well and help out with that. It was really an amazing experience, so it was great. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Nikki. I'm a sex worker from Aotearoa, New Zealand. I really enjoyed the variety show that was put on by sex workers. There's so much talent amongst us here, and it really expressed the diversity of people's skills and where they've come from. And I really enjoyed some of the sex worker panel questions. That was really revealing, and I think that this kind of event is really, really important to continue to normalise the idea for the general public that sex workers are just normal, regular people, although pretty fabulous. It's really important for fostering respect and acceptance.
Hey, I'm Siren from Melbourne. Events like the Festival of Sex Work have been so important to me because just the coming together of amazing enthused, like, positive sex worker community and just a sense of solidarity in the face of, you know, in the wider community, not being able to be out as a sex worker and not having that sense of pride and positivity of being a sex worker. Yeah, it's just been a really amazing couple of days and have everyone coming from all over the country and just a sense of, like, sex worker connectedness has been really cool.
Hi, this is Yudisha. I'm from Interstate. So one of the things I really liked about the Sex Worker Festival was sometimes you forget that there is community out there and that there are really positive organising that goes on around the sex work community. So the Sex Worker Festival was really great for bringing that out.
My name's Eleanor Jeffries. I'm a sex worker. I currently live in Sydney, but I've also worked in the licensed brothel system in Victoria. The festival, I think, is vitally important because it opens up cultural, political, social, community space to talk about how sex workers are organising, how we're getting together, to bring our expertise to the fore and also to showcase it to the public. It's amazing, and if you missed it, you should be feeling sad, but don't miss it next year because it's just an unmissable Victorian cultural event.
Aw, that was pretty amazing to hear.
Yeah, that's good feedback.
It was amazing. And,
and Eleanor actually has just called in to become a member, so thank you, Eleanor.
I love you, Eleanor.
Fantastic. And you should call and become a member too. Call 1-300-569-949. That's okay, you're sitting here right now. You can't call in anyway. So for my fabulous guests in the studio, you've been here for the Melbourne Festival of Sex Work.
Yeah.
Okay. What were some of the highlights for you?
I think for me, the biggest highlight was the Sex Worker Performance Night. I thought that was really great and really showcased great, amazing, diverse talents that we have within our sex worker communities. Mm-hmm. And also the rally today, I thought we had a really good turnout.
Yeah.
And I thought the Red Umbrella Rally was very colourful, and I really enjoyed the members of the public stopping to ask questions and take photographs and become more informed.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important part of the festival is actually getting, you know, it's nice to have stuff that's just for sex workers, and there was certainly a number of events that happened that was for us. But I think, like, engaging with the broader community and particularly doing public events where we actually get to stop people in the street and have a conversation with them about sex work is really important too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yay. What about you, Anise? What were some highlights for you?
Yeah, the rally was really good. I thought there was a good turnout too, and let's face it, we all looked really fantastic. We always do. And the performance night was really, really good. Oh my goodness, I fell in love with everyone that night. The performances were so good.
Yeah.
The workshops were good. Mm-hmm. There was a new couple that's just started working, so they found that really helpful that we could give them lots of information.
Yeah.
And and I apparently facilitated a workshop for the first time. So that was really good for me to do something like that that cool. I've never done before.
Yay.
And it went well.
And we'll go through sort of each event and talk about like what was in them and what it was like to actually be a part of those events. But just some background information. So we'll talk a bit more about like why did you want to come along to the festival? What for Anise, why was it particularly important for you to be involved?
Well, I just got on the end of the last festival. I didn't even know Vixen existed. I didn't know anything was going on. So that was really exciting for me just to grab the last of last year's festival. And for this year, I wanted to get involved. Well, actually, I accidentally got involved at the last minute. But I wanted to get involved because Vixen's really awesome. I think they're a real asset to the sex worker community.
Aww.
And it's a huge support network, yeah.
Yay. And, well, for everyone, anyone can jump in. Why do you think, like, events like the Melbourne Festival of Sex Work are important?
I'm from New South Wales, where we have decriminalisation, which mm-hmm. is a really amazing model of sex industry legislation. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's really important for Victorian sex workers to speak out about issues that affect them. And I think the festival is one way to talk about those issues, but also to showcase the really amazing community and supportive sex worker community that exists within Victoria.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that was sort of a running theme that came from a lot of those responses to the Vox Pop,
yeah.
was like, you know, really challenging mm-hmm. that isolation, showing that actually there are sex workers that are out there, like, you know.
Yeah, and other models do work. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Also, I think community is really important for nixing internalised homophobia. I mean, mine was really, really strong till recently. I wasn't even out till last year. And I've been in the sex industry for 10 years, on and off, wow. mostly on. And the thing that helped me get rid of my internalised homophobia was community. And I think that's just really important for sex workers ourselves, and Festival of Sex Work is part of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. Well, certainly, like, it was really hard for me to connect with other sex workers, being a very private and independent sex worker.
Yeah.
But so I didn't, like, I thought that I was alone and the only one, and, yeah. you know, things like, you know, watching news stories was really hard. Hard for me, and I, yeah. like, my friends don't get how hard that can be, like how hard stigma is. But so to actually find other people who actually feel the same way that you do makes that burden of stigma a lot more lighter to carry. Hey,
yeah, definitely.
It's just kind of been mostly vanquished for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I occasionally p-word myself in my head, uh-huh. correct it to sex worker immediately, and my head listens.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's mostly gone.
Yeah.
And that's community, and that is entirely community. And
that's fantastic.
And these events are part of that.
It's really amazing.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. It is Radiothon. Yay. So Joy 94.9, actually, it takes about $20,000 a week to run Joy 94.9, and that money doesn't come from nowhere, so a significant proportion of that comes from membership. So please call up and become a member. The Joy 94.9 is like the only community radio station in the world that is supporting sex workers by having a sex worker program that is entirely presented and produced by us. Hooray! I wanted to ask each one of you, what did you get out of the festival? Like, even if it was like just out of planning it or just participating in events, what were some of the things that you got from being a part of the Festival of Sex Work?
Well, I gained a lot of confidence in my ability to organise things. As I said, I've met a lot of people, really cool other sex workers, and just felt a real solidarity within the community.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
For me, I felt very excited to not be part of the organising committee for the festival and just to come along and enjoy all the amazing events. It's been really great.
Now I understand that.
Yes, I don't envy your job, but I do admire it. And so it was really great to meet lots of different people, particularly from Victoria, and to scare shills and skills and information.
Share skills, you mean?
Yes. Goodness, it's late for me.
So, Fleur, so you've been involved in sort of sex worker organising before?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So what kind of things have you done in the past?
Lots of different things. I became involved with sex worker organising, I think, in 2007. So mm-hmm. I've been involved in various roles with Scarlet Alliance, which is the National Association of Sex Workers. Mm-hmm. And I've been involved in an international project there, and also on their executive committee. I've also been involved in a group in New South Wales called currently called NAWU, which stands for Nothing About Us Without Us. And in the past, we've organised protests and actions. We have letter writing campaigns where we write letters to our state politicians and explain to them all the great and wonderful things about decriminalisation and why we want it to stay in New South Wales.
Amazing.
That is awesome.
Yeah. I think decriminalisation has sort of allowed a lot more community and interaction to happen, I guess, more fluidly or easily, whereas in Victoria we sort of have to have a bit of a stigma gap. Like there's, I think regulation certainly has the capacity to isolate sex workers, so to make them work in a very independent and quite often alone kind of way.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah, of course.
I don't think it's regulation. It's bilateral criminalisation. We should call it what it is.
Yeah.
Regulation is a civil thing. We are criminalised by these regulations. It is bilateral criminalisation. We are partly criminalised, partly not. We should call it what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I totally. I absolutely agree. Yeah, so, you know, overcoming, you know, that policy just makes it so much harder. So it's amazing that people like Vixen, like Anise, have actually taken it on and decided to put together not only an opportunity for sex workers to get together, but an actual celebration of the life, skill, culture and community of sex workers.
I just wanted to sort of ask you, just as a little add-in, about maybe a quick difference between legalisation and decriminalisation. I don't know if you've ever sort of touched on that.
I'm actually a currently non-practicing lawyer. I can explain this very well. Decriminalisation removes sex work entirely from the purview of the criminal law. As in, it is not in any criminal codes. It is not regulated by police. It can be regulated civilly, and that is all, like any other work.
Yep.
Legalisation means that part of it is regulated by the criminal law. So I call this bilateral criminalisation.
Yeah.
Because that is what it is.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So the way that I sort of remembered it in a very small nutshell is decriminalisation is the removal of laws. So of the removal
it's
of
a criminal removal of criminal laws, not
that's
civil
right.
laws.
That's right.
I actually don't think decriminalisation is the end. We need anti-discrimination regulations. Civil regulations can be whorephobic too.
Yeah.
Decriminalisation is a beginning, and that is all.
And I think people can confuse decriminalisation with deregulation. So they think that there are
no, it can be regulated civilly like any other work.
Absolutely. Yeah. So things like occupational health and safety and industrial relations, all of those things just apply to the sex industry like they do in any other industry.
But these can be applied in whorephobic ways, which is why I say decriminalisation is not the end.
Yeah, that's right. It is like it is.
And they are applied in whorephobic ways in decriminalised jurisdictions.
Absolutely. So it is one step towards, I guess, better human rights and civil liberties.
Yes, it is the first step. And that is all. And that is how we should see it. It is not the end goal. And that is why people still need to stay active in decriminalised jurisdictions, which are actually not fully decriminalised, I found out.
Yeah.
New South Wales has tolerance zones for street work.
Yeah.
Outside those tolerance zones, it is criminalised.
Yeah.
New Zealand criminalises migrant workers.
Yeah.
There is no full decriminalisation anywhere. We have not even reached the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The struggle doesn't end with one policy change. You are here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. We do have to go to some messages, but we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. The time is 26 minutes to 12. You're with Christian. You're joined by Anise, Fleur and Kitty. Yay!
Hello!
Hey. We are talking about the recently wrapped up today Melbourne Festival of Sex Work.
Phew.
Fuck yes.
And yay.
Amazing. So I thought we might talk about like each event that happened because there was a lot on.
Yes.
So starting on the first day, we did have a launch and a panel called Ask a Sex Worker a Question. Anise, where was that this year?
That was at Hares and Hyenas.
Mm-hmm. So for the people who don't know,
there's a queer bookstore in Fitzroy that was really cool. And Hares and Hyenas has been a really big part of the queer community in Melbourne. So,
you know what I found out the other week? Hares and Hyenas is only one of three venues in like Fitzroy that has a disability accessible toilet.
Yeah. I remember when they were doing that. They did it a little while ago.
Yeah.
And that is awesome. Yeah.
So I think it just kind of shows, I guess, the community. Mindedness of some venues out there, and Hares and Hyenas has been really, really supportive of the queer community, and they were really supportive of the Melbourne Festival of Sex Work.
Yeah, they were really supportive of the festival. I'm like, yes, of course, come in.
Yay. So we had our launch there. So that was a couple of speeches. lectures as well as a panel discussion with sex workers.
And the questions were really interesting. I always find the non-peer questions, I always cringe a little bit sometimes.
Oh, fuck yes.
Not necessarily at the questions themselves, but the thought of what they could ask.
Yeah, yeah.
But for the most part, they're quite respectful.
Yeah. I think it's when people are sort of confronted with sex workers, like real sex workers in the flesh, it's a bit harder to...
Oh, you're a zoo animal!
Or sometimes the P word, the P bomb gets dropped.
Oh, the P word, fuck!
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. And I think sometimes like people aren't quite up with it with sex worker issues or how to speak in a language that supports sex worker rights.
Yeah, yeah. It's not usually from malice that it's those sorts of slip ups are said. It's just.
So, did you guys go to the launch?
I did go to the launch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was your experience of it?
I thought that the panel was really diverse and that the people answered questions really honestly and in really amazing and insightful way. And I felt that the audience members were at first a little overwhelmed and a little bit shy to ask questions. But once that ball started rolling, people were very curious. And I think it was a really wonderful community education opportunity for the sex workers participating.
Yay. Yeah, and it was fun. Cool. The day after that was the research symposium, which was, I guess, a bit more of a formalised educational opportunity. Did you go to that?
Yes,
Denise?
I did. I was a spectator for that and moral support.
So there was a number of like formal presentations delivered.
Yeah, there was. Mm-hmm.
My favourite presentation of the day was research conducted with Vixen and Scarlet Alliance, I believe, about media representation of sex in Victoria.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found that really shocking and surprising, but at the same time not.
Yeah, yeah. So that was presented by the fabulous Jane Green, who's...
Oh, she's amazing, amazing, amazing. Jane, I love you.
So Jane has been on the Vixen Hour previously when she started doing that research because we were talking about sex work in the media on the Vixen Hour for that episode. And she presented some preliminary findings of that research. And so a lot of it's quite amazing. So according to media representations, sex workers interact with the police something like 44% of the time. Like according to media reporting, we were more likely to interact with police than we were with clients.
Oh my God, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, it's just a gross misrepresentation of the reality of sex work.
Oh, absolutely. And it sort of gives the broader public the idea that sex workers are very, engaged in criminal behaviour.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we are. You know, like, sometimes I work street and, you know, when I was leaving, the cops pulled up. I was like, oh my God, panic, panic, panic. And I'm like, I'm not soliciting. I'm just here playing with my phone, which I was. I was live blogging the whole thing.
And what was that part where there was that list of like names of brothels or establishments where there was the knock shops one?
Oh, yeah, all the euphemisms of brothels and
yes,
the knock shop.
The knock
and
shop.
Yeah.
That was the funniest, I thought.
Yeah. Which is weird because it's like that was used in like the media, and in like informal like media reporting. And obviously it was someone's job to write that.
What, in the 70s?
Price satisfaction. You're the girl who works at the knock shop.
It sounds so 70s to me.
It does. It's very dated, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very dated and seedy.
It's very Australian, though. It's very my dad.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. Hi, Dad.
After the symposium, there was a less formal event that was for sex workers only, and that was the sex worker dinner.
Yes, that was great. That was great.
Yay.
Yeah. Everyone got together and we talked our heads off. And it was just really good to have us all there together.
Yeah.
And just letting loose, and I think the restaurant that we went to was a bit
I think they were a bit shocked.
Overwhelmed.
Yeah, with the number of people too.
My God. Yeah.
Well, with the number
there
of people,
a lot of people.
You know what?
Did they actually know that we were sex workers or no?
Well,
they just thought we were a bunch of crazies.
Well, no. The way that I guess the festival was organised, if we didn't have to disclose people's statuses, then we didn't feel that that was a necessary thing to do. Like just for the safety and confidentiality.
Yeah, yeah. I just wasn't sure.
Of people who were participating.
I mean, we did rearrange the room.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we did take a bit of control over the venue. And the reason we did that was because we really wanted to sort of foster a sense of community. So we wanted people to not feel like they were being left out. So we kind of rearranged the furniture.
And food is quite a traditional way of sort of
connecting.
Sharing food.
Yeah. So I think that was a really positive event, and particularly a positive event for people who were new to the industry.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it gave them an opportunity to connect with other sex workers in a really, really easy and social way. So you are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We've got to go to some messages, but call now, 1300-JOY-949. Mason is waiting for your call to sign you up to be a, become a member. We are on air. We don't run on air. You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
I'm Dr. Brooke Mignanti, formerly known as Belle du Jour, and you're listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You are here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. You're with Christian and I'm joined by Anise, Fleur and Kitty. Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
We are talking about the Melbourne Festival of Sex Work, and they've been, we've covered some of the events so far, but so continuing that along, there was an art show that was part of
I didn't actually get to see that because I was
you
with the workshop.
Out.
Oh, you totally missed
so, out. So I guess I can ask you the questions about that.
For sure.
So where was this art show?
Oh, so the art show was at the amazing Madame Brussels here on Bourke Street. So Madame Brussels was actually named after a 18th century brothel owner that was active here in Victoria, in Melbourne, in Little Lonsdale Street. And so we thought that was a really appropriate venue to host an art show made by sex workers.
That's cute. So how many people actually participated in this? Like how much art was there?
Yeah, so there was about... There was about 12 pieces from like from various sex workers all around the country who were either coming to the festival or some people posted their work. So and there was lots of different media. So there was some visual art, so some paintings and drawings, some photography that was presented. Some people made jewelry and installations. So yeah, there was
cool.
a whole
that
bunch of media.
Was there anything that stood out for you, like something that you liked in particular?
So there's a creative sex worker arts troupe that's very active in Australia called Debbie Doesn't Do It For Free, and they actually put together a piece of art called My Life With Craig Thompson, and it sort of involved a lot of the media coverage and newspaper clippings from the whole Craig Thompson scandal, and that was sort of put together, and there was a lot of sort of ways to sort of keep yourself safe from the very stigmatizing coverage that was there. So it was a very deliberate statement of... And so there was a lot of media about that story at the time. And quite often when people focus on things like political scandals, the tendency to throw sex workers under the bus and totally ignore our human rights and be totally disrespectful to us tend to happen. So those newspaper clippings, it was just a way to sort of highlight, you know, the impact on sex workers that that kind of coverage had. So moving on from the art show, launched on that Saturday as well were the workshops.
Yes, that's where I was while you were doing
well,
the
I was
art
installing
show
the
thing.
Art show, yeah. So how were the workshops for you?
Yeah, the workshops were really good. I facilitated a Skillshare.
Awesome. So what is a Skillshare?
It's kind of like... I'm not that good at facilitating things because I haven't done it before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no,
I thought you did a great job.
Oh, thank you. It's kind of where the sex workers got together and sort of just talked about. Well, scared shills.
Scared shills.
I did what you did.
I kept doing that earlier. It's like a tongue twister.
Shared skills.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, as I mentioned before, there was a new couple, and that was really, really helpful for them to be able to just ask point blank questions and just have straight up answers, actually.
Yeah. And I think skill shares, particularly for sex workers, are really important because there's actually no better way for a sex worker to learn new things than from
One of them was, you know, how do you screen for clients when you're a private worker, which I thought was a really good question.
Yeah.
I would actually like to know the answer because I use my intuition.
Well, next time, Kitty, to learn more about that and various other skills that sex workers sort of share with each other.
Do the workshop.
What were some of the other issues covered by the workshop? So you had skill sharing.
Well, you did the media training.
I did. How appropriate. So, yeah, that was a really good opportunity to sort of share some basic skills that I've learned through producing media as well as engaging with the media.
It was good. Key messages.
Super important. Yeah, well, it's important because, like, as we were talking before, sometimes engaging with the media isn't necessarily an entirely positive experience for sex workers. So it was a really important, I felt like for me, it was a really important workshop because I've had such a really positive experience with media. I thought, you know, and that's not just pure dumb luck. It's been, you know, I've been active, well, as an activist, active for over 10 years, which is making me feel very old.
But the media can be very crafty, can't they, with their approach to sex workers, and they can try and solicit sort of certain types of
messages.
My God. Certain types of, you know, information. Anything scandalous.
Yeah, for sure. So following the workshops, though, was one that came up in the Vox Pop quite often, was the variety show. Yay.
Hooray! Yeah. Everybody's favourite.
Yay.
Oh, my God, Nada.
Hi, Nada, if you are listening.
I just can't even believe that.
The Sex Work Variety Show was an opportunity for sex workers who are also performers to actually put together a bit of a talent show for sex workers, their friends and families. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So how was the night for you guys?
Well, I had lots of fun. I really enjoyed all of the amazing performances, as I mentioned earlier. One of my favourite performances came from South Australia, where a sex worker from South Australia ran through with an audience member all the things that would happen in a full service booking with
Oh, that was cute.
Oh my God, I wish I'd been there.
That was a lot of fun. And a little bit gymnastic as well, getting up on things.
Very gymnastic. And everybody kept their clothes on, so it was very clean, but
no.
Yeah, but there was a diverse range of performances, so there was a lot of comedy, there was a number of musical performances.
Yes, the songs, they were amazing.
And not just like from a skilled musician point of view, but also incredibly creative.
Much so.
We could hop on about the variety show for ages, but after that, when people were just a bit hungover.
Oh, yes, the historical walking tour. Yay. That's your baby again.
That was my baby.
So I'm actually wondering, why a historical walking tour at all?
Well, for me, the sort of reason I wanted to do it was quite often sex workers are erased from history.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and so, you know, people quite often say that sex work is the oldest profession, but it's also one of the most enduring professions that's sort of present in every civilized society. So putting together a historical walking tour was, because one of the things that I'm passionate about is actually remembering things from a sex worker's perspective. So quite often historical events get reported on or recorded from a non-sex worker's perspective. And like when you read history, you can see a lot of these issues sort of replay over and over again. And a lot of the issues that were sort of experienced by sex workers circa 1880 to 1920, which is what the time period that I focused on, were very much the same for sex workers today. And it was a really good opportunity to actually walk around and talk about those things.
So who actually turned up for this? Was there a very big turnout?
Well, surprisingly, there was about 25 people who turned
up. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise, but like a pleasant surprise. So, yeah, no, it was really great. And there were sex workers, but there were also people from the general community who turned up. Yeah, it was just something that people were super interested in and a perspective that's rarely heard, so which is, I guess, why people did turn up. So, yeah, that was the historical walking tour. But later on the Sunday evening, we had the digital storytelling film screening.
We did. And I had a film in that.
Yeah.
Yep. And so that was 010, which is you might have to help me out with explaining who they are.
So they're a community-based multimedia collection collective. So people who had skills in doing things like producing short films and training people up to use things like cameras and software and all that kind of jazz.
Yeah, so that's what they did for me as being part of the digital storytelling. They helped me film my film, edit it on the computers, use the software and that sort of thing. And my film was in the digital storytelling, which I found a little bit confronting at the screening.
Oh, it's totally confronting to see yourself on screen.
Yeah. And I just thought, oh, everyone's are so amazing. And
I thought your film was so great, though. It was really, like, really amazing.
Mm. 010 actually run that workshop every year. So this is the third year that they've run that workshop. So we were able to show 10 short films.
And they also do that without being paid as well.
Yeah, so a really amazing initiative. So we would like to say thank you to Robbie and the team from 010.
Yeah, it was really awesome.
We have to go to some messages now, but we'll be back to talk about the Red Umbrella Rally and wrap up. You've been on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You are on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Christian and I'm joined by Fleur, Kitty and the fabulous... And you're all fabulous.
No, just me.
You're all
fabulous. Just kidding.
The fabulous Anise. 2 minutes to 12. Appropriately, we're wrapping up with the last event of the Festival of Sex Work and that was the Red Umbrella Rally. Hooray. That was today.
That was today.
The Red Umbrella Rally was an opportunity for sex workers and their allies to show solidarity with each other and put on a public display for sex worker rights.
And promote decriminalisation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which we need in Victoria very badly because a lot of us are criminalised here.
Yeah. So I think it was a really great day. We had a really good turnout.
A great turnout. Yeah. And everybody looked fabulous.
Yeah. Yes. And if people want to see a photo of that, it is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/sexworkerradio. If people do want to see that photo, it is on our Facebook page. And
Oh, we haven't even said where that was, have we? It was at the State Library. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are some really amazing speeches.
On the steps, yeah.
Yeah. And we talked about, you know, the members of just the general public coming up and having a conversation about sex work.
Yeah, lots of people took photos on their phones.
Kitty, Fleur and Anise.
It always goes so quickly.
Doesn't it?
It just goes
that
just
came
like that.
Very fast.
It's been wonderful talking with you guys.
You have been on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We have been talking all about the Melbourne Festival of Sex Work. If you would like to stay connected to the Vixen Hour, you can do so by liking us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/sexworkerradio. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/thevixenhour or at Vixen Hour for all you tweeters out there. I have forgotten how to speak.
Post-festival stress syndrome.
In a meltdown.
Time for a drink.
So next week on the Vixen Hour, we will be talking about all things super nerdy, pop culture and sex work. Tune in, it's going to be a super exciting show. It's going to be sci-fi and sex work.
Who's doing
That's
that?
Amazing.
Amazing. So the amazing Erin Walker is going to be back to
awesome.
Do that.
Awesome!
Yeah, everyone loves her.
I love her.
So be sure to tune in for that. You have been here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. Thank you to everybody who... Thank you to Eleanor for joining for Radiothon. Amazing. We'll catch you next week. You've been on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
I'm Dr. Brooke Mignanti, formerly known as Belle du Jour, and you're listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Become a Joy member so we can give you the best shows every day. Call 1-300-JOY-949.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.